somewhere we must come to see that we must rise up and stand on our own 2 feet and say to our white brothers that we are determined to be men. This is what the movement is saying. We are somebody. We are determined to gain our freedom. And we are going to start with ourselves by freeing our own psyche, our own souls. This is where we've got to start first. For you see, in the final analysis, if we are going to be truly free, nobody else can do that for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do that for us. No Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do that for us. If we are going to be truly free, we must reach down into the inner depths of our being and sign with the pen and ink of assertive manhood our own Emancipation Proclamation.
I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Tennysonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
And welcome. Welcome to On the Real Side, January the 5th, 2017. I'm Emmett Abatidoh. Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. said, if you do not understand white supremacy, racism, what it is and how it works. Everything you understand will only confuse you. My life's mission is to teach my brothers and sisters how to heal from the consequences of being enslaved. And I'm a river that nurtures both banks. On the Real Side is dedicated to replacing white supremacy, racism, white domination, white subjugation, white exploitation, with a universal system of justice. Justice is better than white supremacy. On the Real Side, supporters, ontherealside.com and storkreality.com. storkreality.com. Because the day you were born is your mother's birthday. Honor her and the father. For a comment or a question, email Doe, D-O-E, at ontherealside.com or at emmetabatidoe at gmail.com. And that ain't right. No black men working. And an answer, a response, a plausible solution to the condition which is getting worse. I submit the Community Economic Development Plan of 1993. Acquaint yourself with the plan at ontherealside.com and the edcuinc.com. For we have what we need to deal with the problems that are given us if we would simply stop cooperating with the plans of our enemies. It's regrettable that even today, PMIAs hold fast to the illusion that Barack Hussein Obama was prevented from doing anything for PMIAs. And leading up to his election, PMIAs rationalized and said, well, he's got to be the president of everyone, and we really can't expect him to do that much for us right away because that would create problems for him. So in effect, black people elected a mother that they didn't expect anything from. He didn't promise to do a damn thing either. So nothing from nothing is nothing. But in its place, the survivor syndrome of PMIAs fantasized and assigned events and motives and intentionality to this man without foundation, without substance. And even today, at the end of this man's extraordinary journey, the net sum of meaningful contributions to the struggle of PMIAs and the illusion of the fulfillment of Dr. King's dream, even, has to be substantively zero. But on the illusion side, wow, it's a plus 10. And that is part of the dilemma that keeps the people made in America, PMIAs, sucking hind tit generation after generation after generation. It was called to my mind a comment by Frederick Douglass, who said, "Dem dat resistus de leastus gets beaten the oftenest." Dem that resistus the leastus gets beaten the oftenest. And that came to my mind as I watched here in Houston, Texas, as in many urban centers, Muslim paper sellers at the intersection. And I recalled, being 75 years of age, when it was open season on Muslim paper sellers across the country, because the paper, Muhammad Speaks, is a major source of revenue for the organization. It's a real minus for the membership, who have to pay for the papers, and then they got to try to get their money back. So when you see a paper seller on the corner, he's trying to get his money back, because the papers were already paid for, and he's stuck. But over the years, paper sellers and the Nation of Islam were fair game. And I was recalling an incident in New York City when there was a incident, they call it, if you look it up, they call it an incident, where police invaded Mosque Number 7 in New York City, where Malcolm X was the minister at one time. That resulted in a policeman being killed and some bad stuff resulted from that experience. And there were over 300 people in the mosque, and their lives were at risk. And there was all kinds of propaganda about the Muslims storing weapons, and that they received a tip and they were on police business in invading the mosque. Well, the Muslims are trained not to be passive. And they were resisted after it was requested that the police officers not bring guns into the mosque. And they ignored, and as they normally do, pressed forward, resulting in several of them getting their asses whooped, their guns taken, and one police officer killed. And Mayor John Lindsay nor the police chief attended the funeral of the officer that was killed because they were wrong. And I remember Louis Farrakhan saying, "We don't carry guns. We don't store guns. They bring guns, and we take their guns and use their guns on them." And I remember reading and hearing over the years the result of police officers attacking, harassing paper sellers without the traditional response of PMIAs. And it's taken them about 20 years. But as I saw the paper sellers, that saying of Frederick Douglass came to mind, because paper sellers and mosques are off limits, because they know that they're going to be in a fight for their lives if they cross the line. And it is something that, for the most part, has escaped the community consciousness of dem dat resistus the leastus gets beaten the oftenest. And if I can paraphrase, them that resistest the leastest and don't come up with solutions to their problem get abused and exploited and misused continuously. So who's really responsible for a lot of the nonsense that we experience and complain about? So today, on the real side, understanding and healing PMIA survivor syndrome, part 8, on the real side. This is what it sounds like when doves cry. And understanding and healing PMIA survivor syndrome is part and parcel of the phenomena that we have been experiencing for over 125 years. That being the effort and the confusion and the failed attempts of piecing together fractured personalities, trying to fashion a world, trying to fashion meaning, trying to fashion understanding on the run. As Dr. King said, that so-called emancipation was freedom and famine at the same time. And it is a miracle that the Negro has survived. It was never the intention that we should survive after we had outlived our commercial usefulness. And this is something that porch monkeys and house niggers and Reverend Chickenbone has prevented us in recent years, in recent generations, from coming to terms with. And what we experience as a people, what we experience in our attempt to form relationships, in our attempt to communicate with one another, can best be described as chaos. When doves cry, the result is chaos. Without direction, without understanding, without a sense of empowerment, but with all the negative information and reinforcement and encouragement, it is truly a miracle that not only the Negro has survived, but PMIAs have attempted and to a degree succeeded in establishing some type of stability in spite of COINTELPRO. In spite of redlining, in spite of white supremacy, white domination, white subjugation, PMIAs have struggled and fashioned a facsimile of community, of marriage, of relationships, of parenting, without fully understanding that what we're experiencing ain't right. That what we've put together has been the consequence of what was left over, what was misunderstood, what was misdirected. So the conversation that we're engaging in is to better understand how we can take chitlins and turn it into a delicacy. How we can take the trash, the stuff that was fed to hogs, and make it palatable, tasty, and nutritious. How you do that? With the throwaways. Now, this is an interesting segue, but I got to tell you this little story. My wife bought some what we used to call cold cuts, but I happen to like Oscar Mayer liver cheese. I have forever. And she brought something that looked just like what Oscar Mayer sells. And it tasted real good. And it was half the price of Oscar Mayer. And one line said, read the label. So I did read the label, and I noticed that there was nothing on the label that said anything about the ingredients or the nutritional value of the product. And I thought that was interesting and strange even. So I pursued my curiosity and called the store that it was purchased from, and it was Stewart's Food, or Stewart's Grocery, the one in Brazoria in Texas. And I finally got to talk to the guy who was in the meat department and the one who was identified as the one who knew what was going on. And this is what I was told, boys and girls. The product was labeled Lunch Ends, E-N-D-S, which I really didn't understand what that meant. And my wife was explaining to me what was probably what was explained to her, and I didn't get it. And the butcher began to explain to me that the lunch ends meant that anything that was left over, cheese, ham, turkey, chicken, beef, anything that was the end of something was thrown into this recipe that became what looked like liver cheese and what was being sold as lunch ends. And I asked the guy, I said, well, how long y'all been doing this? He said, about 30 years. And I realized that all of this time, no one has asked them about why they do not list their ingredients. You can buy very inexpensive sausage, and you will read the label, and it'll scare you because it lists eyelids, lips, and other body parts of various animals that go into this sausage. So it's up to you if you want to eat lips and eyelids, and but it's listed. And here this business for X number of years has put together this product that is not identified in terms of its ingredients on the label and has no nutritional information whatsoever. And that is how we have lived our lives as a people. That's what we've been given. We've been given the ends to make do with. We've been given the worst information about relationships. Just for a moment, consider the information female and male children get about love, about relationships. Now, where do they hear about love and relationships? And where do they see love and relationship modeled? Okay? They first are introduced to the idea of love being an emotional experience through the music. The music that adults are listening to. The programs that adults watch. Children are being taught what relationships look like. And I don't know, boys and girls, if you have paused to listen to the messages of so-called black music. Now, here are sick people expressing themselves artistically about things that they don't have any better foundation to teach anybody about a healthy relationship, because who taught them? When you listen to the lyrics of so-called black music and country music, because country music is poor people's music who are white, ignorant people's music who are white, unlearned people, unsophisticated people, music who are white. The same applies to black music. So children are immersed in a message of loss and infidelity and disloyalty and betrayal before they're old enough, as the old folks say, to pee straight. So the expectation of black children, the expectation of poor children, is that they're going to have a relationship with someone of the opposite sex that's going to be all fucked up at the end of the day. And they expect it. They expect it because that's all they have heard. That's all they've been told. And they're looking at these grown-ass people who are smiling and who are evidencing emotional agreement with the message. So it's got to be that, well, I remember a visitor, I don't remember who it was, but a visitor in my mother's home when I was about 8 or 9 years old. And I remember hearing her tell my sister that she better get an education so that she can get a good job to take care of the children she's going to have that are going to be abandoned by their father, by the father of her children. And she needed to prepare herself to get a good education so she could support her children. And my sister hadn't begun her first period. And this is what black girls hear, black females hear. And black male children don't hear any better message at all. That you're going to be cheated on, that they're going to want your money. And when you listen to the stuff they call blues, it's tragic. It's tragic, but because of the magic of the soulfulness of our people, we have been able to take shit and turn it into sugar. But we pay and have paid and continue to pay a very high price. So, understanding and healing PMIA survivor syndrome necessitates our understanding the need to learn the mechanism of managing the chaos in our lives. In spite of what we experience in our hearts and in our heads as being committed, as loving and caring, we find words coming out of our mouths. I find words coming out of my mouth that are neither loving or caring. I find words coming out of my mouth that are not trusting. I find words coming out of my mouth that do not reflect my faith, my commitment. I find words coming out of my mouth that I wonder who's talking sometimes. And the words hurt. The words cause distance. The words cause alienation, and I'm left to invest all kinds of energy in cleaning up that mess, in trying to demonstrate that, yeah, I said that, but that's not really where I'm coming from. That's not really how I truly feel. That's not really what I expect of you. And sadly enough, I'm not alone. Sadly, I have observed and witnessed similar dynamics and circumstances that are as bad as mine and worse. But I never had an opportunity to understand or be told or coached in the option of realizing that those things have nothing to do with you. Those things are manifestations of our miseducation of the over 300 years of being taught to distrust, to despise, and to hate each other. For over 300 years, there was no such thing as family being respected. Breeding units, maybe yes. But not family. Black men were not encouraged to be committed to the woman that they sired, her children. He was not allowed to be the provider. He was not allowed to be the protector. He was not allowed to have the say-so about his sexuality and his body. And if the truth be known, the black males, a large percentage of them were castrated. And another percentage that were used as breeding stock, as the buck, as the Big John, was not allowed to explore and to express himself sexually without the permission of the Masa. And the very term itself, bull session, denotes what happened when Big John came back from his sexual exploits at the behest of the master and described his activity in detail to the males that gathered, who were not allowed to have his experience. The majority of males during the 300 plus years of enslavement were not permitted sexual intercourse, were not permitted indiscriminate promiscuity as black men have been accused. Of being all too obsessed with. And through all of this, we attempt to create families. We attempt to create permanence. We attempt to create and to give commitment. And I maintain that if we and when we understand that what we are doing and what we're experiencing is chaos that's not ours, and commit ourselves to learning how to manage the chaos and acknowledge that I hurt you, acknowledge that what came out of my mouth was offensive, was unloving, without compassion and even mercy, and set it off to the side as, yes, I got to learn how to manage that, and I need you to understand that I am attempting and learning to manage that, as hopefully she will be willing to learn how to set aside her stuff and manage her chaos. And once we understand that we have at least two personalities. At least two personalities. We can develop an attitude that's productive and constructive to manage the danger and the harm and the hurt that we so easily find ourselves capable of meeting on one another. There is hope. There is a way. And I believe it is through understanding and healing PMIA survivor syndrome and developing the tools and the intentionality and the determination to manage chaos. For On the Real Side, January the 5th, 2017, I'm Emmett Abatido.
Somewhere we must come to see that we must rise up and stand on our own two feet and say to our white brothers that we are determined to be men. This is what the movement is saying. We are somebody. We are determined to gain our freedom. And we are going to start with ourselves by freeing our own psyche, our own souls. This is where we've got to start first. For you see, in the final analysis, if we are going to be truly free, nobody else can do that for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do that for us. No Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do that for us. If we are going to be truly free, we must reach down into the inner depths of our being and sign with the pen and ink of assertive manhood our own Emancipation Proclamation.
I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. Ha! But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
I do not know the power of my hand. I do not know the power of my black hand. I sit slumped in the conviction that I am powerless. Tolerate ceilings that make me bend. My godly mind stoops. My ambition is crippled. I do not know the power of my hand. I see my children stunted, my young men slaughtered. I do not know the mighty power of my hand. I see the power over my life and death in another man's hands. And sometimes I shake my woolly head and wonder, Lord have mercy, what would it be like to be free? But when I know the mighty power of my black hand, I will snatch my freedom from the tyrant's mouth, know the first taste of freedom on my eager tongue, sing the miracle of freedom with all the force of my lungs, christen my black land with exuberant creation, stand independent in the hall of nations, root submission and dependence from the soil of my soul, and pitch the monument of slavery from my back. When I know the mighty power of my hand.
So young and so strong, they're just waiting to be saved.